You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to the newest episode of Locked On Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. We're now nearing the end of our week-long series previewing the Rockets' depth chart. For those who haven't been tuning in, this is a series we're doing across the Locked On Podcast Network with every team previewing how their team stacks up at each individual position. And so we've looked at the guards, we've looked at the small forwards, we've looked at the power forwards, and last but not least, now we come to the Rockets and the center position. And as I said, it's certainly not least because as we enter the 2016-2017 season, this is by far the most intriguing position on the Rockets roster. Because when you look at the other spots, Pat Beverly, James Harden, Trevor Ariza, Ryan Anderson, these are your starters. Even your leading bench players, the likes of Eric Gordon, potentially Corey Brewer, we know exactly who these players are. You might have some slight variance. Obviously, people in Houston are hoping that now that James Harden's in better shape, he didn't have the bad ankle injury this offseason. Hopefully, he'll be able to expend more energy consistently on the defensive end of the floor. We hope that Trevor Ariza, if you cap his minutes, can be more efficient both with his shot and with his defense. But by and large, these veterans, you know what they bring to the table. And while it's good if the Rockets are going to take that next step, besides looking externally through trades and free agents, the best way the Rockets can get back to a contending level is for one of their young prospects to make the leap, to go from being a good player to a really good player. And when you look at the young prospects on the Rockets roster, the guy that is best positioned to do that is Clint Capela. So when you talk about the Rockets and their depth chart at the center position, I think it's pretty clear that Clint Capela is going to be the starter. Certainly Nene is a nice piece. Donatus Mata-Yunas, if he is re-signed, can also give you backup minutes at the five. But this is a season that the Rockets are certainly going to err on upside. They know that while they can be a mid-tier playoff team now, they are not quite at the contending level unless they acquire another elite talent or develop another elite talent. So they are going to give Clint Capela every opportunity to just to do exactly that. And when you look at the way this roster stacks up, center is the position with highest variance. When you look at point guard, shooting guard, small forward, power forward, you know, you have a good idea of what the floor is. You can obviously build cases for small increases or decreases based on certain circumstances, but by and large, we have a good idea, barring injuries, of what the Rockets are going to get at that position. Center is where you have the most variance. You lost Dwight Howard. Now, I'm on record as saying Dwight Howard this past year, I don't think he was that particularly crucial to the Rockets' success. I think there was clear slippage from him on both ends of the court. But nonetheless, he's one of the biggest free agent signings in the history of the Houston Rockets franchise. He's someone that the team really built around for the past 3 years. So you're losing a guy who was a max player, who was kind of the face of your franchise, and now you're replacing him with a kid in his low 20s that's entering just his third season in the NBA. So there's a lot of questions. Certainly there could be a fall off from Dwight Howard to Clint Capela, but you know what? There's also a case where Clint Capela could actually be an upgrade on Dwight Howard. So when you look at center, you have a lot of variance, and that's something that for a team like the Rockets that obviously is not at the level of the Golden State Warriors or Cleveland Cavaliers right now, you want variance. You want some of these prospects to pan out. And again, with the Rockets and prospects, it starts with Clint Capela. He's going to get his shot ahead of the likes of Nene and Donatus Mata-Yunas, and so you hope he takes advantage of it. Will he take advantage? We'll soon find out. To talk about it, though, I'm going to be joined momentarily by Chris Reichert. Chris is the editor of Upside Motor. He is the D-League aficionado. You might as well call him the Woj of the D-League. He is just a valuable resource for young prospects around the NBA. Of course, he studied Capela a lot because Capela in his rookie year, 2014-2015, spent a lot of time with the Rio Grande Valley Vipers of the D-League, so Chris knows him well, and he wrote a piece last week on Upside Motor called Clint Capela is Ready to Make the Third-Year Leap for the Rockets, and had some really great insight about just why Rockets fans should expect a big breakthrough as Clint Capela enters his third year with the franchise. So before we go any further, I want to get Chris on the phone and let's let him talk about just why he sees Capela having a big year this coming season. All right, now we've got Chris on the phone with us. Chris Reichert, how's it going, buddy?
I'm doing really well, man. Thanks for having me on.
I think everybody in the Rockets community is thrilled to have you on because you had a very intriguing piece last week about Clint Capela on Upside Motor titled Clint Capela is Ready to Make the Third-Year Leap for the Rockets. It was actually tweeted out by Daryl Morey, the GM of the Rockets, which I think tells you how the team would like to see it. But before we get into the particulars of it, I just want to talk general terms. I know Clint is someone you followed closely. He spent almost his entire first year in the D-League, the 2014-2015 season. Why are you convinced that this third year is a big year for him?
You know, I think just in general, for a lot of these NBA guys, it takes a couple of years, you know, especially when they're as young as Clint is. So the third year historically just seems to be a year where things click for guys. And you started to see a little bit of that last year with Clint. When he did get opportunities with Houston, he played really well, you know, and he had highlights, you know, highlight dunks, highlight blocks, and just kind of all around his awareness, you can tell is just getting so much better on both ends of the floor. And I think just with the addition of D'Antoni and his, you know, heavy pick and roll offense, he's just going to really flourish as the role man with James Harden, Beverly, Eric Gordon, anybody who's running that pick and roll with him.
Yeah, in addition to his awareness increasing, which I would definitely agree with you on, I think his body's transformed a lot, too. You know, I think a lot of Rockets fans and people who watch these players on a daily basis, they might not see the change because, you know, obviously the Rockets have put him on a fitness regimen since drafting him in June 2014. And so I think Rockets fans, sure, they've seen a little bit of improvement, but when you see a guy every day, you don't necessarily notice it. But one thing for me, when I compare Clint Capela now, basically his strength, both in terms of how he looks and also his ability to play on the low block, he looks like such a stronger player than the guy who went to Rio Grande Valley in, what, September of 2014. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I would definitely agree. I mean, you could even see it in his rookie year that he had trouble posting up guys, even in the D League, due to his lack of size. And now you're seeing him finish over guys like Paul Millsap and, you know, the bigger guys in the NBA. So he's definitely added some bulk. You know, and it's easy to overlook as a general fan. Like you said, if you're watching him every day, I mean, it's like, you know, I'm looking at my kid. I can't tell how much he's grown. Somebody else sees it, and they're like, oh, my God. And I'm like, really? So I definitely see, you know, that comparison. And, he's got increased strength, increased confidence. I think the confidence is a big thing for players as well. And so I think you can see that all kind of blossoming for him kind of at the perfect time.
Yeah. The most interesting part of your piece on Upside Motor regarding Capela and his potential third-year breakthrough, you broke down his production by minutes. And I think that's really important because I think while everyone around the Rockets is optimistic about Clint, he's never played more than 19 minutes a game in an NBA season. So obviously, until he gets above 30 minutes per game or even above 25, there are going to be certain questions as to how much you can extrapolate. And one of the really interesting things, you looked at the production of games in which he played 20 or more minutes. And the biggest thing I took out of your piece, the Rockets were 22-11 in games that Capela played 20 or more minutes. And this is a team that was 41-41 overall. So you look at basically, if Capela played 20 minutes or less, they were 11 games under 500. And when he played 20 minutes or more, they were 11 over. So, really, I think, you know, when you look at the data, I think you can see that Clint Capela, in some ways, might actually be a better fit for this team than the version of Dwight Howard that they had, or at least some of the, at least the version that with injuries that they saw the last couple of years. What is your take on that?
Yeah, and I think some of that is probably, you know, you have to give that a little bit of context. Some of those games were probably when Houston was already ahead.
True.
You know, because so they left him in a little longer. But still, I mean, it's still interesting, you know, to say the least, that they were that much better with him playing that, you know, 20 or more minutes. And I would agree. I think, you know, his role, I think he can, you know, he's not Dwight Howard, you know, so that's
right.
Not. If fans are expecting that,
right,
you know, they're going to be disappointed. But he could fill that role, you know, and do a good job without maybe some of the prima donna stuff that Dwight gave. And he's not going to be a guy that expects to get a certain number of shots at this point in his career. you know, and things. So he might fit perfectly, and like you said, even better than Dwight did at this point, due to all the offensive weapons that they're going to have around him. I also think it's really important that they added the increased space heaters with Eric Gordon and Anderson on the wing that can just knock down threes. It's really going to open up that role area for him where he's really good at being the role man. You know, and yep. It's easy to be, you could say it's a little bit easier to be a quality role man when you have James Harden running the pick and roll with you because he's so good offensively as well that he attracts so much attention. I'm really excited to see what Capella can do with increased minutes. I was even more excited before they signed Nene. But overall, I still think the signing was good because it's going to help him with another mentor. And Nene's kind of a better mentor, I think, at this point than Dwight would have been for Clint.
Yeah, and you mentioned also that Nene and Capella's skills, you know, they have differing skill sets, so it's not like you'll have too much of a competition, you know. Obviously, Capella's going to get the benefit of the doubt based on his youth. The Rockets want him to develop, but Nene's skills in regards to his passing ability, his post-defense, you know, he does things a little differently than Capella, so I think you can mix and match the matchups a little bit. Going back to Capella's minutes, the big question when you extrapolates what kind of numbers can he have and can he stay out of foul trouble. Now, from strictly a numbers standpoint, the numbers that you broke out are, I mean, really encouraging. You know, at 30 minutes a game, your piece you mentioned 9.3 points, 9.9 rebounds, 1.6 blocks. At 36 minutes a game, which would be true starters minutes, you know, over 11 points, basically 12 rebounds, 2 blocks. You know, these are really encouraging numbers. But when you ask, can Clint Capella get to 30 to 35 minutes a game, the question is going to be, can he not foul? Because in the 33 games that he played 21 minutes last year, that's the sample that we were just discussing, he accrued 5 or more fouls 6 times. And as you said, stretch it over a full 82-game season, and he would have fouled out of 8 games at least. So when you looked at the film, and I know you broke down the film because you have some really nice GIFs in your article showing examples of Capella both on offense and defense, what did you see with regards to his propensity to foul that got him in trouble?
I think he's gonna really have to pick and choose his battles at the rim. You know, he's a guy who everybody's excited about on defense. I think right now his defense is much better than his offensive game, and that's kind of the draw with him. You know, and so he's gonna have to pick and choose kind of where he goes and really goes for those blocks. And I think he's got really, really good instincts as far as getting to those blocks. You know, it's not just pure athleticism and leaping ability that gets you blocked. If it was, Blake Griffin would average way more blocks than he does. You know, it's very instinctual, and Clint clearly has that. I think the thing he's going to have to get really comfortable with is that verticality and really staying straight up. I think a lot of times he would try it, and his arms would come forward, and that's a lot of times where his fouls came from. It wasn't really coming off weak side. It was coming off him defending the ball, trying to stay straight up, and just not being able to. So if he can kind of get that in rein and get that verticality yep. in there, he'll still be able to get his block numbers while maybe not staying out of foul trouble, but lowering his fouls, making a lower rate than he has currently.
Yeah, and that's the area where I do like the Nene signing a lot. You know, I know for someone like you, it's a little, you know, it's not quite as exciting because with Nene, you know, you're probably looking at capping Capella's minutes just a little bit. I think probably 28 to 30 is the most likely estimate. But at least Nene provides you a hedge to where there's not going to be too much pressure. If Capella's your only option, then I think you could really get him in a difficult spot of, you know, how do you kind of coach out his normal instincts, that kind of thing. At least with Nene as a hedge, you can gradually kind of introduce him to these concepts and continue to work with him. Looking at the offensive end of the floor, of course he's a great pick and roll player. You mentioned that last season he was basically 1.17 points per possession as the roll man in the pick and roll, which put him in the 83rd percentile of the league and eighth best among players with at least 100 possessions. But one of the things that I thought you did really well in this piece is show that he has potential not just as a roll man, but actually in the post. And in a Mike D'Antoni offense, I know everyone thinks of D'Antoni offense as playing fast and shooting a lot of threes, but when you look back at those Phoenix teams and even New York and LA, there were a decent amount of post-ups. So I'm curious what you saw from Capella in the low block, because I know you said that you at least see, you know, he's got something to work with at the very least.
Yeah, I think you can see flashes, you know, where you see a couple possessions and you think, wow, why can't he do that every time? And you know, that's the difference between, you know, a good player and a great player, you know, is just that consistency piece. Because there were plenty of times where he would post, and particularly going over his left shoulder, you know, with the right hook, he was pretty good at it. Both using it from the left block and using the glass to help him out, like that, like the clip I put in over Millsap, and then also coming from the other block and coming to the middle of the court and using the soft touch. So he does have some decent touch. I know it's kind of hard to think of him as a guy with touch when he shot 38% from the free throw line. But, you know, it's a little different when you're shooting a hook shot from, you know, 3 to 5 feet than you are from that free throw line. So I think the potential is there. I mean, it's that word potential that everybody falls in love with that kind of got them to take him initially, and he's still got it. You know, he's still, you know, 22. He's very young.
Yep.
You know, so, I mean, he's still growing. He's going to get there, I think. And I think you can see those flashes of it. There's a lot of players where you don't really see even flashes. So just seeing that really kind of gets me excited about what Capella could be in, you know, two or three more seasons when he's really seasoned.
Yep. Last question about Capella for this coming season. I'm going to give you an over-under of 21 for combined points, rebounds, and blocks per game. Obviously, this is going to be dependent on how much he can stay on the floor, and that's going to get into, you know, his defense, his ability to avoid foul trouble, all that kind of stuff. But based on what you've seen, based on his career trajectory, 21, over or under?
You know, I'm gonna be cautious and say under, just
okay.
Because I don't think he's going to hit 30 minutes a game.
Okay.
I think it's like you said, I think he's going to be 26 to 28, maybe,
okay,
now that Nene's there. And I think that's a good jump for him, being at 19 last year and moving to 26 or 27 this year. You know, it's hard to jump from 19 to 35 or 34 when you're not used to doing that over 82 games. So I think it's probably actually better for his overall development, but I'm going to go under on that one.
Okay. Last question, and then I will let you go. We've talked a lot of Clint Capella, but I know you're a D-League guy. The Rockets have a very intriguing young center out of Louisville that they just drafted, Chinonu Anuaku, who in all likelihood is going to play a lot of time at with the Rio Grande Valley Vipers this year, Houston's D-League affiliate. I know he hasn't started D-League play yet, but I know you're a basketball diehard. Just curious about your overall thoughts on Anuaku and what you're going to be looking for out of him as a rookie this year.
I'm really excited for Onowaku. I think as soon as they made that pick, I thought, wow, I'm going to see a lot of him, you know, for the Vipers, which is exciting for me. I think he's a little bit in the same ilk as Capella in the sense that he's much more valuable right now on the defensive end than he is on the offensive end. Super athletic, super amount of length, you know, and I think that's going to help him a lot in the D-League. What I'm going to look for is footwork. I'm going to look for improved post moves in general. The D-League is a really guard-heavy league, so guys can look good, like, in the box score, have high percentage, you know, field goal percentage, things like that. But I really look at, you know, how are they moving? Where are they setting up? Where are they getting their post position? You know, those are more important things to me than the end result when you're looking at a guy who you're projecting to be on the NBA team. So those are the things I'm going to look at for Onowaku.
Excellent. Chris, thank you so much for the time. Before you leave, why don't you toss out your Twitter handle, your website, basically where fans in Houston can find your work.
Yeah, on Twitter I'm at Chris_Reichert. The website that I'm the editor for is Upside and Motor. We cover the D-League, we cover college, and we cover the young guys in the NBA, and international basketball as well. So come check us out. It's a lot of good stuff, a lot of good writers.
Yep, absolutely. Chris, thank you so much, bud.
Appreciate your time.
Sure thing.
Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM. Talkspace.com/BOOM. BOOM.
Thought that was an excellent segment with Chris, both on Capella and also Onuaku, to close out the Onuaku talk, because some people do ask, could he have a role as a rookie? It's not impossible, but it would take a lot of things going wrong. As he said, really, for Onuaku, there's an intriguing base, but there are some fundamental things that you want to shore up, especially on the offensive end of the floor, his footwork, how he reads the floor. These things were not especially good at the college level last year, so he still has a long way to go. Now, yes, he is already a really good defensive player. Analytics models loved him. Potentially, even this year, he could be an impact defensive player at the center position. But he's got so far to go on the offensive end of the floor, and obviously that does matter with Mike D'Antoni, that I think, especially with the depth ahead of him, Capella, Nene, potentially Monty Yunus, there is no real incentive for the Rockets to rush him. Now, if things go really wrong, if there are injuries, or if the Rockets are so inexplicably poor on defense, then yes, at some point this year, I could see the Rockets looking at Onuaku as basically a lottery ticket and saying, hey, you know, this guy is so good on defense and the models love him so much, maybe we can experiment with him. But I think a lot of things would have to go wrong, either in injuries or this team is just even worse on defense than what most people think. By and large, I think Onuaku an intriguing long-term prospect, but I don't think he's someone that you'll see much in Houston in the 2016-2017 season, unless there are a lot of injuries or a lot of things that go wrong for this team. As far as Capella, I think he hit the nail on the head. You can see Clint over time developing into potentially a really good NBA player. But personally, I would go under 21-2 in terms of combined points, rebounds, and blocks per game, only because there is a surprising amount of depth at that position. Nene, while I don't think the Rockets are going to play him more than 20 minutes per game, they do want to keep him healthy. They're going to be treading a thin line because also, keep in mind, Nene did sign at an obvious discount. He signed for 1 year, $2.9 million, basically the room exception, because he thinks D'Antoni's system is beneficial to his game. So while no, I don't think he was promised a starting role or any kind of major minutes, I don't think it's going to be as simple as, well, if Clint Capella can play 35 minutes a game, you just make Nene take scraps. You know, no, he signed here because the Rockets told him he would have a good opportunity to play realistic minutes and hopefully earn a bigger contract for him next summer, be it with the Rockets or somewhere else. So I do think the Rockets are going to try to get him minutes, if at all possible. It doesn't mean they're going to guarantee him anything. Certainly, even if there are kind of wink-wink understandings in the offseason, the Rockets are not going to sacrifice games just to keep Nene happy. I'm just saying that I think Nene, we saw a lot from him over the Olympics playing on Team Brazil. You can certainly see that in a smaller role, he still has a lot to offer, both in terms of post-defense, his ability to pass, his ability to hit the mid-range shot. There are a lot of things that Nene can still bring a basketball team, especially a young team like the Rockets, where Nene has a lot of experience, and he can offset some of the weaknesses from Capella, at least in that area. So Nene, I would expect him to hopefully get 20 minutes a game. And you still have Donatus Monty Yunus. As I said yesterday in the power forward discussion, I think assuming Monty Yunus resigns, and even though, yes, he's still a restricted free agent, smart money is on him staying in Houston. Right now, you're basically going to start with Monty Yunus just being a backup at power forward and playing 10 to 15 minutes per game. But if Monty Yunus proves that he has recovered from back surgery, and you know what? He says he is. He thinks he's primed for a big year, and he's going to have every financial incentive to give the Rockets a big year, because I think it's clear now Monty Yunus is not going to get the big contract that he wanted, so he's probably going to be signing a shorter deal, 1 or 2 years, and hoping to prove his health, and then get the bigger payday, either in the summer of 2017 or the summer of 2018. So for Monty Yunus to do that, well, he's got to prove he can play. And with Ryan Anderson, a power forward, you pay him $80 million, of course he's going to play at least 30 minutes a game. So if Monty Yunus wants to play more than just a 10 to 15 minute backup role, he's got to steal some minutes at center. Can he? Well, he has in the past. He is a legit 7 feet. He does have a back-to-the-basket game, and he has enough strength in the lower body that he can hold his own in the low block. He's not really a shot blocker, but not all centers these days are shot blockers. Monty Yunus is a capable enough defender that, yes, he can play the position. We've heard his agent, BJ Armstrong, mention him in the context of being a starting center. Now, I think that's obviously a stretch. His agent, BJ Armstrong, is trying to get maximum value out of the Rockets or any other team, so of course he's going to mention Monty Yunus as a potential center because centers have more value than power forwards. But it shows you that that's something that Monty Unitz is working on. That's something he's very aware of, his potential to play center, what it could mean for his value. So if he proves capable of being that, you know, 14-7 guy that we saw him be for stretches of the 2014-2015 season before the back surgery, then he could factor into that center mix as well. And he's got a different skill set than both Capella and Nene, because when you think Monty Unitz, you think of his ability to play all the way out to the three-point line, shoot, move the basketball, play in space. So I'm pretty optimistic about the center position for the Rockets, because you don't just have three quality players in Capella, Nene, and Donatas Monty Unitz, but you have three quality players with somewhat differing skill sets. So you're going to be able to mix and match your way through various lineups, and all of those guys are going to play with a chip on their shoulder. Capella, this is going to be his first chance to play more than 19 minutes per game. He wants to establish himself as a potential star at the NBA level. Nene, a lot of people have written him off at his age, turning 34. He still thinks he's got a lot in the tank, and on a one-year, $2.9 million contract, he's going to be playing for his next contract. And Donatas Monty Unitz, well, we just went through it. He's going to be signing a short-term contract in all likelihood, and he still hasn't proven that he's all the way back from that back surgery. So not only do you have three guys with diverse skill sets and various things they can bring to the table, every one of them is going to have a clear economic incentive to really bring it and show that they are ready to go. So I think you're going to have a lot of battles for playing time at the center position. And really, I would be surprised if any of these guys break, you know, more than 30 at the absolute most, just because it's going to be an intense battle all year long. But at the end of the day, that's good for the Rockets because, well, in a Mike D'Antoni system that plays with so much pace, you are going to have to expend more energy than a lot of slower systems around the NBA, potentially more than what they did last year with Kevin McHale and J.B. Bickerstaff. So the more depth, the better. And so while you don't have Dwight Howard going into this season, I don't think it's unrealistic to say that, you know what, maybe you feel better about the Rockets' center position over the long haul. Now, granted, there are a lot of questions. You certainly have to hope that Capella's production can be extrapolated. You're hoping that Monty Unitz can further get back from his back surgery. But I'm just saying you can see a path to where they can be very good at that center position. So as we wrap up this depth chart preview series, I think this is one of the more interesting podcasts we've had, because the other spots, we know what the floor is, we know what the ceiling is, we have a good idea of the range the Rockets are going to be in. There's more variance at the center position. And so yes, there's some risk that, you know, maybe it goes wrong, maybe there are unexpected injuries, or Capella just ends up too foul-prone to be what we think he can be. But there's also that upside, because with Rockets fans, I know everybody wants this team to get back to a contending level. They want to get back to where things were in September 2015, and we thought this team could potentially win a championship. So how do you do that? Well, in addition to James Harden, you've got to find more elite talents. And when you look at the Rockets roster, generally you're going to be positioning yourself in terms of elite talents for future drafts, free agency periods, trade deadlines, you name it. There's some intriguing young talent on the roster, but there's not that many guys who you could see truly becoming elite. Clint Capella is the one guy who, it might be a long shot, but he could. The sky is the limit for him, and now we're finally going to get to see him in bigger minutes, and I could not be more excited as someone who follows this team, and I think a lot of fans are as well. So with that said, I want to wrap up this podcast. Thanks again to Chris Reichert for joining us. If you're not already following him on Twitter, I urge you to do so. You can follow him at Chris_Reichert. You can also follow his website, Upside and Motor, which covers all sorts of young prospects in the NBA, the D-League, and also college international basketball. Really a great resource if you're into player development and learning about players who are basically the future of this league. So if you're not already following him or viewing his work, I would certainly encourage you to do so. I can tell you the Rockets' Daryl Morey is, because Daryl Morey retweeted the article about Clint Capella. So it shows you what they think of Chris's work. As far as the show, you can follow me on Twitter at Ben Dubose. You can follow the show on Twitter at Lockdown Rockets. And you can always email the show at lockdownrockets@gmail.com with any questions you might have or sponsorship inquiries, anything you might want to know about this show. Thanks again to all of you for listening. It's been a good week, and it's going to get even better because now we're within 72 hours of Media Day on Friday and 96 hours of training camp on Saturday when the 2016-2017 Houston Rockets season finally gets underway. So I thank you again for listening these past few days, And stay tuned, because in the days to come, we're going to have even more great content right here on Locked On Rockets, a part of the Locked On Podcast Network. So thanks again for listening, and I'll be chatting with you again very, very soon.